Unmanned aircraft are becoming more capable and more common. The peaceful commercial possibilities are endless, but so are the opportunities for accidents and terrorism via drone. That's why four federal agencies are collaborating on new approaches to aerial surveillance. Joining me with the latest, Arch Turner, Operational Analysis Chief at the Homeland Security, Science, and Technology Directorate. Mr. Turner, good to have you on.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us the goals of this program in which you're collaborating with these other agencies.
What we are doing in my group is we are assessing the existing air surveillance capabilities that feed our Air Marine Operations Center. And we're assessing the degree to which the capabilities we have today to detect and track airborne contacts within the country and approaching our borders and coasts and around Alaska, Aleutian Islands, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico, assessing the degree to which we can meet the requirements that the department has established.
And now, what are those basic requirements?
Well, I can't get into too much detail, but I can tell you that there are certain buffers around our coasts and borders. We are required to detect certain targets of before they reach those buffer zones.
Sure.
That's an important part of it. We also have buffer zones around 29 major metropolitan areas, and they also have buffer zones, areas from the major metropolitan areas by which we have to achieve a high probability of detection before the air contact reaches those mileages from the city.
Now, there are drones and there are drones that are large, almost aircraft-size pieces that different nations, and who knows who could have control of those. Then there's the small, lightweight drones for delivery. Are you trying to not merely make sure that the surveillance itself exists properly, but also that it can identify what might be a legitimate drone from one that's not legitimate?
Not at this point, not what we are doing. But there is a project being led by NASA, UTM, Unified Traffic Management. And they are really trying to establish the environment in which commercial drones, as you know, there's a lot of interest in using commercial drones for a variety of very, very helpful purposes. But they are actually responsible for defining the, if you will, air traffic control zones for those kinds of drones.
Sure. In fact, I had Mr. Koparkadar on this show just the other day on that very topic.
Oh, I see.
So we're up on that one. So getting back to what science and technology at Homeland Security is doing, what are the challenges that you're facing in knowing whether the surveillance is adequate for this buffering required?
Right now, we have done the assessment of all the borders and coasts and assessed the degree to which the requirements are met. And I would say right now, in terms of what we're doing now, we're in pretty good shape. Now, the next phase of this effort, which will evolve over the next couple of years, is when this frequency spectrum is sold off. Industry will propose new sets of radars or other sensors to replace the air surveillance capability that's lost. And what we will be doing then is we will be using our modeling and simulation capability to help our department understand how well those proposed sensor laydowns provide the air surveillance capabilities that we need. That will be more of a challenge, and I think we're all looking forward to some new technology in that area, and there may be some challenges associated with that.
We're speaking with Arch Turner. He's Operational Analysis Chief at the Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate. Is part of the issue the fact that as regular passenger aircraft traffic goes to a GPS-based system, that the ground radar capabilities are going to be disappearing or degraded?
Well, you might think that, but the FAA is one of our partners in this interagency effort. When these radars are shut down, FAA, Department of Defense, and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, as well as DHS, will be affected. Each one of these agencies now are using the radar infrastructure we have for their own purposes. And FAA will still have at least terminal area radar requirements, as I understand it.
What's the status of the program at this point?
the program that has been established to define a set of joint operational requirements for the four agencies is called the SENSOR program, Spectrum Efficient National Surveillance Radar. And the program is in the process of trying to establish a set of operational requirements or capability requirements that best meet the needs of all four participating agencies. So in the next few years, they will be soliciting proposals from industry for their ideas on how we can best do that. In accordance with the Commercial Spectrum Enhancement Act of 2004, the funds that are generated through the auction of these frequencies will be used to replace the capability lost when we vacate the frequency that the commercial sector will buy.
And at some point, you'll be wanting to, I guess, test the surveillance itself. How will that happen? Will you, say, launch drones from out in the ocean and send them to the United States and see what comes up on the detection system?
I'm sure there will be, I suspect there will be some live testing, if you will. What we will do is kind of the first stage of that. We have a modeling and simulation environment created. It's one that's been in use for over 30 years. It's well documented, well credited, and we will use that to make an estimate of the degree to which the proposals meet the requirements. But that's just a simulation, and as much as people like me like to do that, we realize the real world is a little different. So I'm sure there will be some real world, I'm almost sure there'll be some real world testing.
And if something, of course, is coming over the horizon from one of the oceans, you could see where, you know, the United States would want to wake up and take note of that. But in these buffer zones around urban areas, what's the eventual plan for being able to accommodate the fact that there are commercial drones coming from maybe city to city, even, or from a warehouse out in the country into the city to deliver something versus what might be something the United States would have an interest in stopping?
Well, I think it's safe to assume that the legitimate commercial drones will have transponders, just like aircraft have today.
Got it.
And they will be easily identified. Just like today, when we try to understand that some of the contacts we have are suspicious and require law enforcement investigation, it's the same kind of a problem, I think. And I think from what I know about the commercial use of drones, it is envisioned that all the legitimate commercial sector drones will have some way of identifying themselves as such.
So one of the challenges might be making sure that you can authenticate that ID signal in the future so that it's not spoofed by someone that's got bad intent.
Of course. You're right on. That's one of the challenges.
All right. And what is the timeline for your project?
My project will be going on for several years here, actually, because what we've done right now is we've established a baseline. When the joint requirements are established by DOD, DHS, FAA, and NOAA, we will assess the degree to which the proposed replacement infrastructure meets those requirements and the degree to which they comply with the DHS's requirements, which we have an interim set right now, but when the joint standards are established by the four interagency partners, we will use those as an assessment yardstick, too, if you will.
So you've got a few years to go yet?
Yes, we have. The latest I've heard is that the frequency spectrum sell-off will be somewhere in the mid-2020, 23-24 timeframe.
Arch Turner is Operational Analysis Chief at the Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Tom. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Find more information and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.